Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad and I'm still here in Kyoto. If you listened to the last episode, I've been working on a bar that I built in Kyoto that's also just been run into the ground and it's shut now, but I am joined with Charlotte in Japan today.
Hello, back for more.
How are you getting on?
Good, yeah, it's our last day in Kyoto. I don't want to leave really, I think we had a good time this time.
Yeah, we walked from Kiyomizudera Temple down to the Philosopher's Path.
That was a really long walk. I didn't realize it was about an hour from Kiyomizu, but it was worth it. It's really pretty, and unfortunately, there's no sakura yet, but during the spring, I can imagine that's probably one of the coolest places in Kyoto. So if you do manage to come down here for sakura season, check out Philosopher's Path Walk. What's it called?
Well, you can call it both.
Yeah, really cool.
More of a path and a walk, isn't it? But yeah, it's been a good time in Kyoto. One thing I didn't talk about in the last episode is, as well as doing the bar, I also did a video with Alex Shapiro from Tokyo Portfolio, Black Ship Real Estate. And we went to a matcha, basically a good matcha and a bad matcha. And the other day you said you wanted to buy one, right?
Yeah, we were talking to people that do real estate around here and there's so many empty matcha for sale. If you get one on the outskirts of Kyoto, you can get one for a pretty decent price, I heard.
Some people don't know what matcha is. Matcha is kind of like a traditional Kyoto wooden townhouse, right?
Yeah.
And they're disappearing very quickly en masse. Several hundred are lost every single year. And I did a documentary about 2 or 3 years ago in Kyoto. We went and had a look around them and I fell in love with them. I never really stayed in one before until 2020, I think it was. And they're just the most incredible places. They're so calm and relaxing because everything's made of wooden materials and they have a lot of good old traditional woodwork. It's a very relaxing environment. Everything's got a sort of natural building. Everything's kind of natural, right? Because it's made of wood. The floor's made of tatami. You've got the paper sliding doors. Like everything about it just feels very relaxing.
Yeah, it's like the equivalent of a British cottage, I would say. The Japanese equivalent of a cozy British cottage.
But don't renovate one.
Why?
Well, I mean, so I think it's, you know, to renovate a Kyoto townhouse would be a lot of fun, but I think the risks involved and the cost involved, it just makes it not a very like an appetizing prospect. Like we went and had a look around this one that had been renovated and it was a street and there were 3 matcha townhouses and they'd cost about, I think, $500,000 to renovate three or four of them, right?
That was the renovation cost.
Yeah, and they were nice ones.
Right.
But then we looked at a really just shit townhouse that was like a horror film. It was a bit like The Grudge. Like, you know, the building.
Oh, God, yeah.
The fucking Grudge.
Oh, God.
And from the outside, it didn't look too bad, but you open the door, went in, and it was just the most decrepit, nightmarish building I've ever set foot in. The tatami mats were torn. The walls were sort of crooked at an angle.
Oh, that sounds really expensive to fix. I'm assuming fixing up a matcha would just be a lot more expensive than a typical house.
Mm.
We spent about 50 grand American renovating the entire inside of the house.
Wow.
We got in Shibuya. So in my eyes, it's quite affordable to renovate in Japan, comparing with Canadian prices.
But it's not a townhouse.
But yeah, I can imagine the woods and the tatami and just all the specific, like, traditional Japanese things you would need for a machi. It would just be wild.
Well, this one was built, I think, in 1923.
Wow.
And it was in the 1930s that they basically stopped building these official machi.
Yeah.
Classed Kyoto townhouses. And it had this really horrific 1960s or 70s refit.
Oh, no.
Which looked awful. but it was just like a horror movie. I don't know what was going on in there. There was like an overturned table in one of the rooms.
What?
That looked like the table flipping arcade game. Chabudai Geishi. But yeah, it was just horrible.
And, all right. Well, there go those plans.
Well, I think I feel like in the last time I came here and did the video, I almost villainized the Kyoto locals for not saving the townhouses, right? But now I'm a lot more...
It is sad to see them go, but yeah, I can see why.
Yeah, I mean, I think by the year 2050, it was going to be said that there was going to be none left of the original ones. And I think that's a real shame. But now I understand and I sympathize with the locals who are sort of tasked with looking after these places. Why have a townhouse when you can knock it down and build a much better house that's got insulation, that isn't going to fall down, that doesn't need all these elaborate sort of woodwork structure to it? You know, it doesn't make much sense. I think we came with five or six reasons not to buy a Kyoto townhouse. Number one was insulation. They're not well insulated at all.
And you need that nowadays. Kyoto was snowing a couple of weeks ago. It's just getting colder and colder here.
And
so.
Yeah, it's cold. And number two was the cost of renovating and maintenance as well, just overall, as we discussed. Number three is neighbours. A lot of the Kyoto townhouses are sort of terrace houses, so they're connected to your neighbours, and the walls are really like paper. While we were in there filming, I could hear someone banging and doing something next door the whole time.
Oh, God.
Structural problems, number four. Like in this one, we went in and the doors for the sort of sitting room downstairs, whatever, that was sort of at an angle. And that is not something you can fix easily.
And I can't imagine it being very earthquake safe either.
No. And that was, that's
scary.
That's point number five. If there's an earthquake, I think it'll cause absolute chaos. And point number six was just rebuilding issues. If you buy it, knock it down, you might not be able to rebuild it. The land, there's a rule where you can't necessarily build on it once you've knocked it down.
Japan has lots of rules like that.
And these townhouses are often quite narrow and built in very awkward manners. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like a lot of money for a lot of stress, to be honest. So I don't know if I can recommend it. As fun as it would be, I think just renovating a normal Japanese townhouse would be better, like a regular house than a Kyoto machi. Yeah.
Makes sense.
But we've got a story this week from Pi. It's only known as Pi in Vancouver. howdy ho, Pi from Vancouver here. Vancouver, Washington.
Oh, not the Canadian Vancouver.
What's that?
I don't know.
The lesser known between and the Canadian than the Canadian counterpart. I was fortunate enough to be able to enroll in an exchange program and visit Japan, partaking in an authentic Japanese experience full of viewing fireflies, singing karaoke, lighting fireworks, and experiencing Natsuburi, summer festival. While my knowledge of Japanese was limited to that of what I'd learned in anime and through my fellow exchange students and hosts, I was able to get by except for two instances. The first instance was at a buffet in Takicho. Never heard of it. My host parents were kind enough to take time to show my host sister and me around town for lunch one day. The restaurant we went to was Tabehodai, all-you-can-eat buffet style, stacking up your plate with whatever you wanted. And as we were going up to the cashier to pay, I'd somehow managed to tilt my tray in such a way that all the food I'd plated spectacularly dropped to the ground. I had little knowledge of Japanese at the time, but found myself profusely apologising. Sumimasen. Then the second instance was during my time in Hosocho, where my second host family, my host sister and I were preparing for omiyage for the family, souvenirs. Before we had finished our preparations, I had to use the bathroom and suddenly bumped into the oldest brother of our family, a few years older than me, an incredible ikemen, hot guy, going to take what I was assuming was an evening bath. He had forgone his pants and was just wearing his shirt and boxers, to which I exclaimed, "Gomenasai, sorry." I still feel as though I'd mixed up these two phrases, where the former and latter should have been swapped. It still haunts me to this day. Could you clarify the difference between the two phrases and the situations that they might be applicable to. Thank you. Cheers from Vancouver, Washington. Pie or Pierre. Surely it's Pierre. It can't be pie.
Well, maybe they just really like pie. It could be a nickname.
Maybe that is
it. I like it. Honestly, the way you use Japanese works fine in both those situations. No issues at all. Saying sumimasen for dropping your food is totally cool. You can use that when you accidentally do something wrong. The gomen nasai also makes sense as well. Yeah, you can really use them interchangeably. When you say sumimasen, you're excusing yourself for doing something, right? And gomen nasai is actually saying, I'm sorry. So you could use them both. You could use either.
I feel like gomen nasai is stronger.
It
as
is.
Well.
Yeah, because it's the actual apology. Whereas sumimasen was like, excuse me.
I'd say 9 times out of 10, sumimasen's more commonly spoken.
True. You very rarely hear gomen nasai unless you've done something horribly wrong.
Yeah, and then if you hear like service staff apologize, they use polite Japanese like moshiwake gozaimasen.
Mm.
Yeah, you hear that as one as well. News this week. What's going on in Japan? Well, not that story. Takoyaki stand. Do you like takoyaki?
I do, yeah. I've grown to like it over the years. I used to pick out the taco.
Oh, no, but, can't do that.
And just eat the yaki.
just the batter.
I can eat it now.
I mean, takoyaki is amazing. Fried octopus balls. Also, they're very hot. Be careful when you eat them.
Every time, they're too hot.
Yeah, you bite into it and then the gooey interior just melts out, burns your mouth off. But they're very good. They're very good. And the takoyaki stand in Nagoya sold side orders, but not just any side orders, cocaine side orders. This is ridiculous. Like, you don't really think of drugs in Japan
you
much.
Don't, but I think they're a lot more prevalent than people seem to think. I've learned over the years that people that I know have gotten into drugs, and I was just surprised that they were available here at all, because I had no idea.
Yeah, they are definitely more prevalent in the nightlife districts, like Roppongi and in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
So this little stand, right? According to the Nagoya police, a certain takoyaki stand in the city offered something other than octopus balls. It wasn't listed on the menu, but if you knew how to ask for it, you could get your takoyaki with a side of cocaine. Investigators say that Masamichi Shimazu, the 29-year-old owner of the takoyaki stand, had a system by which customers could purchase the drug by speaking a code word when placing their order.
Genius.
I wonder, what was the code word?
They don't tell you, do they?
They don't tell you.
Oh, I'm really curious now.
Why? What do you think it would be? Shionori. Salted seaweed. Because they often put shionori on the takoyaki.
Genius.
Shionori onegaishimasu. Bang, cocaine. The cocaine wasn't mixed into the batter, unfortunately, but was placed in a Ziploc-style bag, which was then slipped into the larger bag along with the takeout takoyaki. So the system apparently required that anyone who wanted cocaine also order food.
How'd they get caught?
On February 15th, Shimizu and his 31-year-old employee, Takao Suzuki, were found to be in possession of 0.7 grams of cocaine, which investigators believe they intended to sell. And the pair were arrested on suspicion of violating the law and selling lots of cocaine. Subsequent digging uncovered payments from the takoyaki stand to a management group in Mie running unlicensed hostess clubs, funneling the drug between them. Clearly, yakuza ties going on there. God, bloody hell.
Yeah, I'm not overly surprised, to be honest.
Yeah, not surprised at all. But there you go. Next time you order takoyaki, you never know what might be around the back. These takoyaki stands, though, they are often in the nightlife districts, right?
True.
Because they're not restaurants. You just sort of have the stand at the side of the road and you turn up and eat it. And in Osaka, the Osaka video I did with Pete Donaldson, we had such a place, though I suspect there was no cocaine there. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments and questions in the fax machine.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners? Well, we've got Simon from Glasgow, who says, "Hello, Constant Chris and Perpetual Pete. Can you tell me how often, when you started to learn, did you study Japanese and for how long? Daily? Every other day? Weekly? And how soon did you feel comfortable speaking this wonderful language with the Japanese people?" When I moved to Japan, it was every day. All day, every day, pretty much. And I got a lot of results early on. Like, when you learn something, you find in those first few opening days or weeks or months, there's a massive learning curve. And it's the most kind of exciting bit, right? Where you learn all the key concepts. So, yeah, you can learn so much of the basics in like 3 months studying daily. What about you, Sean?
I learned the basics in high school, so the alphabets. I didn't learn to speak at all during my classes in high school. We didn't really have much speaking practice, which was annoying.
Mm.
I learned all my Japanese from making Japanese friends and talking to them.
Right.
I hate studying from books, so I clearly have a very different study style to both of you guys.
But you must have studied from a book at some point or another.
I studied from a book to take the N2 test.
What did you study?
Everything. Grammar, vocab, what
did
essays.
Did you the sort of person that makes notes as you study, or?
No. I remember it because I use it. I try to use it after I learn something. I try to use it in a conversation with someone, and I feel like that's how it sticks. If I don't understand something, I make sure I ask a Japanese person to explain it, and then it sticks.
What if you learn like a weird word though? Like the Japanese word for equestrian.
Well, I'm probably never going to use it again, so I would just forget it because it's unnecessary. If it's something that I feel like, oh, that could be useful one day, then I'll make sure to find a way to remember it.
I've got a really good tip, actually. Felix PewDiePie told me it when I went on a road trip the other day, and it might be useful to some of you because it's been helping me, actually. ChatGPT. You know the...
GPT.
GPT, or whatever it's called. Stupid, famous, amazing chat thing that's going to take over the world soon. It's really good in the sense that you can ask it to give explanations and examples of Japanese words. For example, yesterday I learned the word kikake. I kind of knew it already. Kikake means like a reason for starting something, your motivation, right? And the other word for reason is ryu. But often, you know, they're subtly different. Kikake, what's your motivation, is not the same as saying what's the reason for. But I got GPT. GPT. What does the GPT stand
no
for?
No clue.
Great. Fucking stupid. But anyway, it's I asked it and it gave me a good description of what that means. And it also gave me 5 example sentences.
Yeah, it was really handy. Like, who needs a textbook nowadays?
Yeah, it's like crazy. This is really exciting. Because there's lots of Japanese words that I know, but I don't really know how they're used. And this has been a godsend for that. It's kind of like having a Japanese friend you can ask any time. But often when you have that situation, when you have a friend, you don't want to ask them so much because you know it's driving them mental when you ask them every single word, right?
Well, they ask you English. I feel it's a fair trade-off because often when I hang out with my Japanese friends, they want to practice their English. So I don't see an issue with asking them for Japanese advice.
But definitely use ChatGPT. Really great stuff. Hi, Preposterous Chris, Colossal Chris. Prosperous Pete, bloody hell. Me and my friend are planning a trip to Japan this autumn. Once possible, one place we want to visit is an onsen. Traditionally, you enter the bath naked, but in the Abroad Japan videos, the team is always shown in swimming shorts. Is this for the sake of YouTube, or are you uncomfortable with the naked bathing experience? Have you ever been in an onsen the traditional way? And have you been, and would you recommend an onsen where there is only a single large bath? Thanks, keep up the good show, guys. Laszlo. We only wear stuff in the videos just because it's a nightmare trying to blur things in post, right?
No shit. God, like, yeah. I hate this question so much. I get this all the time. Every time I film an onsen, I'll get at least 100 people ranting about me wearing a towel. No shit, I'm wearing a towel. I'm not going to film it naked, am I?
Yeah, so that's the main reason, Laszlo. It's just that, really. Trying to blur video in 4K, never much fun.
And it would just look stupid.
It would look awkward. I think the only other way I've done it in the past is if I am naked, then I will have to put the camera at an extremely low angle, right? So you can't see in the bath.
Risky.
But then you can't see the bath, and that kind of takes some of the magic away. So, yeah.
You won't be allowed in an onsen with a towel or shorts unless you have special filming permission, and that's why you're wearing them. So
yeah, and in the case of... we did a video in Hokkaido recently, and I filmed in a private bath, and I just wrapped a towel around me, and that's the way to do it. Hi, Chris and Pete, hope you're doing well. I've heard many anecdotes of people never truly feeling like they belong in Japan, despite living there for many years and being like a place they call home. Do you personally share similar feelings, or do you feel like you fit in despite being such a homogenous place? Cheers, Akshay from London. I mean... It's a loaded question. What do you think, Sean?
What do you mean? How's it loaded? No, right. I don't feel like I fit in. I don't think anybody would ever answer that they fit in. Because you're constantly treated like a visitor. Yes. I've been here for nearly 20 years. And every time I meet a new Japanese person, it's the same conversation. How long have you been here? When are you going home? Why are you here?
That's true.
Your Japanese is good. Wow, you could use chopsticks. And those aren't the kind of things you would get if, say, I moved to Europe. People wouldn't be like,
well, they might.
Wow,
some
you can use a fork. Like,
some countries, they do that. I think it's worse in Japan because of the sort of politeness tied into the culture. And it's just an easy small talk, right, to comment on someone's chopstick
skills. I don't think that's the reason why.
But it's definitely an issue. It's never really stopped me enjoying my time in Japan, though. Like,
no, we're lucky that we don't have to work for Japanese companies.
I think working for a Japanese company would take me in. And I always tell people to avoid it where possible because friends that I have and know who work in Japanese companies are often overworked an awful lot and don't have the work-life balance that we'd kind of expect from 21st century human resource management. But anyway, I think, you'll never fit in. I mean, I look at friends like Joey, who's half Japanese, and he still has lots of hurdles. It really does come to, are you raised here, and do you have Japanese blood, I think, right?
Yeah.
It's more of a blood thing, more of a genetic thing, rather.
You could be raised here and look ethnically not Japanese, and you would have all the same issues that we do.
But that's not to say you can't have a good life here.
No.
I know plenty of people that do, and I don't think...
I don't care that I don't fit in, really.
Yeah, and it's never really got to me, to be honest. I'm not trying to be Japanese. And I think that's the main thing, right? When I've had this conversation with people, that no, you'll never really fit in. You'll never really just be a Japanese person. But that's okay. You live outside certain parameters. You don't have to do certain things. You can get away with certain things by not being Japanese, especially with the etiquette and keigo and polite language use. I don't think it'll be a problem. And I think you can live here for 10, 20, 30 years and it will never really be a problem. It won't get to you. What do you reckon? Long term?
Well, it depends, really. There are some people that it really bothers them having to hear those same comments every time. I feel like some people get used to it and just kind of drone it out, and other people, it really starts to wear them down. So I think it comes down to your personality a lot.
Yeah, I read an article.
How comfortable you'll feel.
I remember reading an article recently about how, yeah, a lot of people just drown out the small talk in Japan. I know I do.
I tone out.
I have to sort of speed run the small talk. Yeah. You know?
Like, give them like a spiel, like, a 2-minute spiel of why you're here.
Just going to the restaurant this morning, the guy was like, oh, your Japanese is good.
Yeah.
And I just sort of went, and I just don't really. Yeah. I'm polite. Well, you know, I'm always polite, but like that sort of stuff, I just go, and I just sort of want to get through it quickly. Mm-hmm. Same with, oh, I can use the chopsticks. Oh, I've lived here a long time. Well, Sendai has gyutan, cow tongue. Yeah. You know, you get around the small talk, and then you get to the good stuff eventually. It just takes 10 minutes to get there. but never let that put you off coming here. That's never stood in the way of me enjoying it, and it's never led to any regret living here. And I think that is the most important thing of all. Hey guys, Hannah from the UK here. I'm overweight and have a bit of a muffin top going on. Oh, what's a muffin top?
You and me both, Hannah.
Oh, what is a muffin?
It's when like above your pants is a bit squishy. You've got a muffin top.
I've had a muffin top for like 15 years. I know that I'm more muffin than man at this point. I know that Japanese tend to be on the slimmer side. Will I be pointed at or commented on? Should I expect to be asked if I'm pregnant? If they do ask, what shall I say? Thank you, Hannah from the UK. Did that rhyme? Yeah, it did.
Did it?
It rhymed the way I read it. important thing. I mean, you know, I've talked about this in the past, how I got mildly bullied for putting on weight when I was a teacher. But I think that was because I was on such good terms with the teachers, my colleagues, my students. In a weird way, it was kind of good because it meant they felt comfortable talking to me, right?
It's more something that someone who's more comfortable with you will do. Like a stranger is not going to say that to you the first time meeting you or something.
Yeah, you're not going to walk in a bar and the guy's not going to be like, oh, very big.
No, like- no. Don't ever worry about that. Nobody's going to... I would say it would be rare for somebody to assume you're pregnant. I don't think you have to worry about that either. And if they do ask you, just say no with a rude, like an offended face. They should learn not to ask that. That's very inappropriate.
Shout at them.
But no, I don't think you have to worry about this at all. Honestly, the only time I've gotten these comments is from a partner, a coworker, or a partner's family. So it's people that I was close to.
Not my family, right?
No, we're talking about Japanese people. Your family's great.
Yeah, they do take sort of physical health very seriously here. Not so much mental health. That's fine. But the physical side of things, yeah, there's annual health checkups and whatnot. But there's a kind of pressure, a sense of pressure within the culture to basically...
It's not about health, though. It's about...
Being part of the group.
It's about just looking a certain way. Japanese people are very pressured to be thin, women especially. So
that's true. Yeah. So that's why. So don't worry about
it. Yeah, don't worry at all.
It's worrying that you thought this might happen. I hope I'm not responsible for my videos there. We got one from Emma from Vancouver. Chris, I'm planning...
Oh, it's the Canadian Vancouver this time.
Canadian Vancouver. I'm planning to go to Japan this spring and take advantage of the working holiday visa. I have a cat that I'll be taking with me, and I'll be renting a short-term apartment in Kyoto. And I know it's hard to find pet-friendly apartments in Japan, especially for foreigners. Is it common for people to hide their pets from their landlord, or do they usually get away with it? Emma from Vancouver, Canada.
A few things to address here. I'm assuming if you're taking your cat with you this spring that you've already prepared the cat for import into Japan.
Make it sound like a food or a drug.
It's an extremely long process. It's not easy. So if you haven't done that, you won't be bringing your cat with you this spring. It takes at least 6 months. If you've done that, then yeah, as for hiding a cat in an apartment, it comes down to how quiet your cat is. If your cat meows a lot, you can assume that neighbors are going to complain and you'll get in trouble. Mm. You might be able to pass it off as, oh, my alarm sound is a cat meowing. Or I've used that excuse a couple of times. Be creative, but...
Just lie and say it was me. My boyfriend my fiance likes to
cat noises.
Pretend he's a cat at the worst of times. And like, he can have the owner turn up and I'll be like,
oh God. prepare some excuses, but it all comes down to the behavior of your cat. If your cat is loud, if your cat likes to destroy things, it probably is not a good idea to hide it, and you should just try really hard to find an apartment that will accept them. They do exist, but they're hard to find.
It's not fun.
Yeah.
Got one from Nick here. He says, hey guys, my hotel in Kyoto has a freezer. Glamorous. And a microwave. Well, that's quite rare, actually. So naturally, I bought a dozen 7-Eleven gold branded meals, like ready meals, right? When I got back, I found that my microwave simply doesn't work.
Aww.
The nearest 7-Eleven to my hotel is a 10-minute walk, while a Family Mart is across the street from me. Do you think I can ask Family Mart to microwave my meals, or will Family Mart think I cheated on them with 7-Eleven? Thanks, guys. Nick, first of all, why not go and ask the hotel staff to replace the microwave?
Yeah.
That's my suggestion.
Yeah.
Dave and Lee, I'm so lazy I wouldn't even leave the hotel, Nick. I'll just be like, oh, prick, give me my fucking microwave. No, don't, you can't go to Family Mart.
No, you can't. You can't bring your own food into a kombi and ask them to reheat it, regardless of where you purchased it. So don't do that. You could bring it back to 7-Eleven. That would also just be kind of weird. Most people only heat it up at the time of purchase.
Yeah, I don't think that would go down too well.
Yeah.
To be honest.
So,
what is a gold meal?
The gold brand, they're really good. All the kombini have them. Famima has one as well. It's like the gold label, the really good microwaved foods.
Gold label.
You know them because I've bought the pasta before from Family Mart.
Oh, yes. They are rather
genuinely
good.
Quite good.
Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into the Abroad Japan podcast at gmail.com. Guys, we'll be back later in the week with Mr. Donaldson. I wonder what he's been up to recently. But thank you, Sharla, as always, for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And we'll see you right back here, guys, the next few days to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Bye.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.